All right. It's great to be with you here tonight. It's Christmas. I think we need to do like we do with Easter. And you know how we say, he is risen, and then he is risen indeed? I think we should do the same thing at Christmas time. So I'm going to say, it's Christmas, and I want to hear you say, it is Christmas indeed. Ready? It's Christmas. All right, I love Christmas time. And actually today, for me and my family, this really is Christmas, because this is the day that we're all together with folks traveling back and forth. So we are celebrating Christmas today. So my goal here is not to keep you here till midnight, because I have a Christmas celebration to get to tonight. But I love Christmas time. I love this time of the year with the joy, the family, the food, the celebration, the carols, the stocking, the presence, time to be together and relax with loved ones and travel and be with family. And this time, there's nothing better at Christmas time than being with the God, the body of Christ, and celebrating Christ coming into this world to save us from our sins. But at Christmas time, there's also Christmas plays, nativity scenes, and Christmas pageants. And Christmas pageants and nativity scenes don't always get it right. Okay, we have a nativity scene at our house. We purchased, when we were over in Israel, a beautiful olive wood nativity scene, and we actually keep it out all throughout the year because it's just a great conversation piece. But what that nativity scene depicts is not what happened at the on the day of Christ's birth. So we need to be careful not to get our theology from Christmas songs and nativity scenes and pageants. So to begin us off tonight, I want to share with you my top elements of the Christmas pageants and nativity scenes that are not in the Bible. Okay, so contrary to popular belief, and I'm sorry, Mom, Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. My mom loves to sing "Happy Birthday to Jesus" on Christmas Eve. So but Jesus probably was not born on December 25th. This one, I had a college student running for his Bible this last week as I told him this. But the Bible doesn't say anything about Mary riding on a donkey. Okay. Now, if you've got a shocked look on your face, go home and search and see if you can find it in there. All right, Jesus probably was not born on the day that Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem. The Bible doesn't talk to us about an innkeeper, a mean old innkeeper who turns Mary and Joseph away. Okay, the Bible doesn't tell us how many magi there were. Okay, contrary to popular belief, it probably wasn't just three. Okay, we just had three gifts, and we don't know their names either. The Bible doesn't say that the angels sang. We'll see it tonight, and as we look at the passage in Luke, but the angels said, okay? It doesn't talk about the angels flying overhead of the shepherds. The angel of the Lord stood by the shepherds as he said them. And that whole idea of the nativity scene, okay, the idea of the shepherds and the wise men and the angel and the star and a whole barn full of animals all being at the manger at the same time, well, that's just right out. Now, I'm not being Scrooge, and this isn't about bah humbug tonight. My goal for you is the same goal that I have when I tell our kids some of these things. The shocked looks that I see coming from a couple of your faces, prove me wrong, okay? Go search the scripture for yourself, okay? And tonight we're going to do just that, okay? We're going to look at the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. Okay, we're not going to do the entire Christmas story tonight, but from Luke chapter 2. And we're going to focus specifically on the announcement that's the absolutely amazing, unexpected announcement of Jesus' birth. And then I want to challenge you tonight with the response of the shepherds, the response that the shepherds had to that announcement, and encourage you, and encourage all of us to follow the example of the shepherds and do some of the things that they did in our walk. But let's jump right in tonight with the announcement. And okay, so we'll get really technical here for a second, because as we talk about the announcement, I do want to talk about three things. I want to talk about the political, the socioeconomic, and the religious nature of that announcement. But I'm going to try my best not to bore you with that. We'll have some fun with that, and then we'll move on. But let's begin. Take your Bibles, Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone in his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. First of all, I want you to notice the political aspect of the announcement that's going to come. Luke starts off with... And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. I want you to notice in these first five verses, that registration, that census, that process of pulling everybody together to register so that they could be taxed, was actually mentioned four times. Okay, so if you mention something once, you're mentioning it. You mention something twice, you're emphasizing it. You mention something three times, well, that'll preach. You're emphasizing something four times, okay? It's almost like shouting it, okay? And we, you know, several thousand years later have to look back at what a Jew would think about as they were reading this. That registration was not the Jews going out to do their civic duty. This was not them participating in government. They were going to be registered by the oppressive country that had conquered them and was subjugating them. This census, this registration, was put in place to levy massive, burdensome taxes on them. And these taxes were not for their own good, for building, you know, roads. These taxes were to bring wealth to Rome. So a Jew would have a visceral reaction when they talked about this registration. It's almost like if I said, you have to go to the DMV, okay? That painful thought in your mind that comes. And if you want to wonder about that, just talk to Pastor Sturz. He's got a story to tell you recently about the DMV. And so this was not something that was happy for them. But there's something else here, okay? I had an opportunity to do some study of who Caesar Augustus was. And as I was coming across some documents, I found something really, really interesting. Okay? Caesar Augustus was known for bringing peace to Rome. And there's an inscription. There's an inscription that we have today. And I'm just going to read a little bit of that inscription to you. And this inscription was dedicated at the time that they were changing the calendar to begin with Caesar Augustus' birthday. And I want you to listen to some of the language that's in this inscription. And you're going to hear some things that that we know are in the announcement from the angels. I want you to listen to this. The inscription said, "The most divine Caesar, we should consider equal to the beginning of all things. For when everything was fallen into disorder and tending toward dissolution, he restored it once more and gave the whole world a new aura. Caesar, the common good for all, the beginning of life and vitality, all cities unanimously adopt the birthday of the divine Caesar as the new beginning of the year. Whereas Caesar, who being sent to us and our descendants as a Savior, has put an end to war and has set all things in order. And whereas having become God manifest, Caesar fulfilled all the hopes of earlier times." That was the Caesar Augustus to whom Jesus was born into. And we know, we'll look at the passage as it comes up in a little bit, but what were some of the words that were in there? Caesar was savior. He was savior to the whole world. He brought peace and an end to war and Caesar's divinity. And we're going to see in just a moment the announcement from the shepherds. Jesus Christ was Savior, who was Christ the Lord. He was the Savior. And the word Lord referring to his divinity. And on earth, peace. Jesus is the only one that brings true peace between us and God. Goodwill toward men. Folks, Caesar may have been born and been living in an ivory tower and beautiful surroundings. And Jesus was born and placed in a manger. But let me tell you, it was this Jesus who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's this Jesus who was the God of very gods, who John 1 says is the Word that became flesh, and the Word of which everything that was made, he made it. It was that is this Jesus. And this Jesus is the one who is divine. He was fully man, but he was also fully God. He is the one who would bring peace between us and God. And it is he that can bring us into a right relationship in God and truly bring goodwill to men. So not only was there this political aspect, and actually this political aspect brings us, you know, some comfort. God worked through Caesar to declare attacks, to bring Jesus, Joseph, and Mary to Bethlehem so that a prophecy could be fulfilled. Folks, if God could change what the world is doing in order to bring Jesus to fulfill that prophecy, God can work in the hearts of our governments today. And I know Pastor Dave might mention it a little earlier, we do live in crazy times, but God still is in control. So not only was there a political aspect to it, but there was also a socioeconomic aspect to it. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Not only was this an unexpected political announcement and political nature to their birth, the socioeconomic aspect of it is also important. Jesus wasn't born to the rich. He wasn't born in a palace. He wasn't born in a king's castle. He was born and placed in a manger. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was born to a poor family in a third world country, and they were oppressed by Rome. This is not what we would expect in the birth of Jesus Christ. But the announcement of his birth was also unexpected. Okay? His announcement was not to kings. It was not an announcement to generals. It was an announcement to shepherds. Now, these shepherds were they were salt of the earth kind of people. They were very poor. Okay, sometimes we try to picture them as being, sinful or unclean in some way, or representing sin. I don't necessarily think that, but they were poor, and they were in the lower echelons economically of a third world nation. And so for Jesus' announcement, for the announcement that we're going to see to come to shepherds, how unexpected was that? So we see some unexpected political things. I'm not going to belabor the economics because we've heard a lot about that in other messages. But there was also an unexpected religious nature to the announcement and to the birth. Okay, so tonight, I promised the young people that I would share with you adults, okay, a little bit of some of the things that we do in Children's Church. And for years, I've been making stick figure cartoons in PowerPoint, okay, and to teach Bible stories. And I promised the kids that I would do one slide, okay, one slide of stick figure cartoons tonight, okay. So the next part of the passage that we read, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. So here are shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. Okay. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Here we go. The glory of the Lord. And they were greatly afraid. Wait for it. Okay. And I usually do that a few times for them, okay? They were greatly afraid. Okay? One more time. And they were greatly afraid. Okay. Now, I used to ask myself, why was it that the shepherds were so afraid? Okay. Now, granted, I get it that in just about every account when angels interact with humans, there's fear that goes along with that. Mary was troubled, and the angels are always saying, "Fear not." But it didn't say that the shepherds were afraid. It said that they were greatly afraid. The King James, they were sore afraid. Why was it that they were sore afraid? And I think it's because there's a part of this passage that we kind of skim over sometimes. Verse 9 says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." You know, sometimes we think of this because that's what we hear in songs, and sometimes we see this in movies or in our pageants as this was just a great light that shone around them. That this was maybe a bright light from, you know, shining from the angels. But this wasn't just a bright light. This was the glory of the Lord, that Shekinah glory, that very presence of the divine, the very presence of God himself. And that's why I believe that the angels were greatly afraid. When you come in contact with the divine, the natural reaction is to fall on your knees and consider yourself a sinner. Isaiah, in Isaiah 6:5, when he's in God's throne room, he says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When Jesus was interacting with Peter and had him cast the nets on the other side, and Christ worked a miracle and filled his nets, what was Peter's reaction to that? Was it, "Hey, Jesus, come on down every day. We're going to make a lot of money from you." No, his reaction was when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When Jesus was with the disciples out on the sea, and the storms are blowing left and right, and the disciples are afraid, and they come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, will you calm the seas?" And Jesus stands up and says, "Peace." And instantly, the wind and the waves obeyed him, and the sea was calm. So the next few words wasn't that the disciples leapt for joy. In Mark 4:41, it says, "And then they feared exceedingly." Okay? I like how John MacArthur puts it. The only thing scarier than the storm outside the boat was the God of creation inside the boat. When you come in contact with the divine, it's not something to jump for joy. You realize the sinful person that you are before a holy God, and the natural reaction is to fall down and to worship, to fall down and say, "Woe is is me." Now, this is an interesting religious aspect as well. Because think about this for a second. Where would you have expected the Shekinah? Where would you have expected the glory of the Lord in the announcement of Jesus to happen? Where was that that God normally met with man? It would have been in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. Okay, we would have expected this announcement that the angels make to be to the religious elite, to the priests, to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, to the religious rulers. But it wasn't. This announcement came to poor, humble shepherds out on the hillside. And I think that that is extremely significant. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just for the wealthy. And it's not just for the religious elite. It's not just for pastors. It truly is for all men. And so let's jump in and actually look at this announcement and the shepherd's response to it. Then the angel said to them, let's read the verse first. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people." This good news. What's another word that we use for good news, for good tidings? Gospel. Okay? So I'm bringing you good tidings, good news, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ, who is Messiah, and he is the Lord. He is the God of very gods. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" And as we look at these next few verses, I want to encourage you tonight to look at what it was that the shepherds did. And I want you to follow their example. What was the first thing that those shepherds did? "So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." Those shepherds listened to the divine message given to them. They believed the divine message that was given to them, and their faith led them to act upon that divine message that was given to them. So I want to encourage you tonight, especially if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can follow the example of those shepherds by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those shepherds did not have the full gospel. They didn't have the story of how Jesus would die on a cross and pay the penalty for our sins. But we do have that full gospel. And that Jesus, who was born in that manger, would live a perfect life here on earth. He was born, he was God of very gods, but he was born as a man. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in the manger. He was fully God and he was fully man. And that man lived a perfect life, never sinning one time. And he went to die on a cross. Now, folks, he did not die on that cross for anything that he did. He willingly went to that death because of your sin and my sin. The Bible tells us that each and every one of us are sinners. We know that we are. We sin in thought, in word, and deed every single day. We break God's laws all of the time. And that sin separates us from a holy God. And that holy God cannot allow sin into his presence. But Jesus came into that world to reconcile us back to God, to bring that peace of bringing us back to peace with God. And he did that by dying on that cross and paying the penalty for our sin that we deserve. And when we place our faith and trust in him, we can have the free gift of his salvation. The Bible tells us that when we trust him as our Savior, that he takes our sin onto him and he gives us his righteousness. And so when God looks down at us, he no longer sees our sin, but sees the blood of Jesus and how he paid the price for our salvation. And we can be right with God. Boy, I almost said boys and girls. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, force of habit. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, okay, that is the goodwill to all men, that we can be reconciled back to the to God, even though that we are sinners. And if you're here tonight and you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can do that. If you would call upon the name of the Lord, admit that you're a sinner, and trust him completely to save you from your sins, and simply ask him to save you, he will do that. So we must follow the example of the shepherds, first by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But secondly, we can follow the example of the shepherds by making it your highest priority to know and worship Jesus. If you look at this on this verse, okay, we already looked at the verse, but look at verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They spoke amongst themselves and they said, let us go see this thing which has been revealed to us. Have you ever thought about what they did with the sheep? Okay, sheep do not move with haste. Okay, they went with haste. Okay, so the Bible doesn't tell us what they did with the sheep, but they weren't thinking about the sheep. At that moment, the most important thing to them in the world was to go see Jesus. The most important thing was not their sheep, and those sheep were that was their livelihood. That was how they made their money. If something happened, that's why they were living out in the fields with their sheep. They were protecting and taking care of their sheep. But all of a sudden, those worldly things, their income for the year was not important to them any longer. The only thing that they could think about was going to see Jesus and worship him. And they came with haste. Have you also thought about the fact that they didn't have the star guiding them like the wise men did? Okay, how was it that they were going to find Jesus? How did they find Jesus? Well, they found Jesus because the angels gave them a sign. Okay, what was the sign that the angel gave them? You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Okay, now it was probably not wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger out in the town square. Okay, so they had to go through town looking for a manger that's got a baby in it. They probably knocked on a number of doors saying, hey, is there a baby that was born here? Is there a manger that was here? But they weren't worried about people thinking that they were nuts. They weren't worried about being considered lunatics. They weren't worried about the effort that went into it, because the highest priority that they had was going to see Jesus. Let me ask you tonight, is Jesus truly your highest priority? In your job, in your home, in your hobbies, in your entertainment, in your leisure? How many times have we let the things of this world become our highest priority? Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor Brian. If I don't work hard, I won't make money. No, I get it. I know you need to work hard. But do you have to get every single promotion that your company offers? And working for those great promotions, does that sometimes pull you away? Does that sometimes pull your heart away from making Christ the most important thing in your life? What about those hobbies? What about the time that we spend in our hobbies, in our entertainment, in sports? Are we truly making Jesus the highest priority in our lives? And I would say that even in our Christmas celebrations, and I would say most Christians would have a more Christ-centered Christmas. But let me encourage you not to have a Christ-centered Christmas, a Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the season. Jesus is the reason that we celebrate. What he did for us on the cross and him coming into this world needs to be the pinnacle, the most important thing in our lives. Do you truly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And how is your personal walk? We're getting toward the end of the year. Pastor mentioned about our Resolution Sunday. How did you do with your resolutions that you made at the end of last year or at the beginning of this year? How are you doing with your Bible reading? And I'm not saying that as, dutifully check mark. I did my devotions today. I'm a super Christian. No. But folks, it's that relationship with God that comes from saturating our lives with His Word that makes it so that we can, that He can be number one in life, our lives. He will never be number one in your life if you, if His Word isn't number one in your life. If you aren't daily taking that time to saturate, to memorize, to meditate on His Word. And again, I'm not saying you need to enact a program or that you need to have a checklist. What I am saying is make your relationship with God, that time that you spend in His Word, loving Him, adoring Him, being the most important thing in your life. And that doing that will lead to what comes next. Because Jesus was the most important thing in the shepherd's life, because coming to see Him was so important, once they did see Him, once they heard about Him from the angels, once they heard about Him from Mary and Joseph, and I would imagine Mary and Joseph maybe even shared about the angels' visits that they had, okay? That they then went and told others about Jesus. The shepherds went away from there. Now, when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their hearts. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. Folks, we need to be telling others about Christ. And you might be saying to yourself, Pastor Brian, I'm just not an evangelist. You know, I'm not one of those people that can just go up and talk to people about Jesus. Well, I would be willing to bet that those shepherds weren't either. Okay? Why was it that those shepherds went everywhere that they went telling other people about Jesus? Because they were so overwhelmed with the message of what they had heard. They were so overwhelmed with the fact that they saw Jesus. They were so excited about it that they couldn't help but go everywhere that they went telling others about Jesus. It overflowed from their heart and from their spirits. And if you're saying tonight that, Pastor Brian, I struggle with sharing the gospel with others, well, it's not, you know, being an evangelist. It's not being necessarily a deep theologian, although the more that you study, the easier it becomes. But really, it's about sharing what God has done for you. And folks, if you are daily in God's Word, and if you're allowing yourself to be saturated with God's Word in your life, and your relationship with God is thriving, like the last thing that we said, the overflow of joy about Christ in your life will be the natural thing that you talk about. Even the shyest person in this room, if I pushed enough buttons, okay, I bet I would be able to get you to start talking about something that's important to you. Maybe it's the Arizona Cardinals, okay? Maybe it's, oh, I'm sorry, not today, okay? Maybe it's quilting, maybe it's camping, okay? And there is that thing that I could talk to any one of you about, and you just won't stop. You'll just go and go and go and talk about those things. Why is that? Because it's something you know. It's because it's something that you love. It's because it's something that you're excited about. So folks, let's resolve to allow God's Word to be saturated in our life to the point that Christ and His relationship with Him is first place in our life. And we are so excited about the things of God that we can't help but share that with that person at the grocery store, with that waitress at the restaurant, with that person that you're sitting at the DMV with, okay, or whatever. Folks, let's follow the example of the shepherds, okay? By, first of all, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And number two, by making it your highest priority to know and to worship Jesus and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. I just want to close in prayer for a second, but I want to give you an opportunity. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you tonight, if God has worked in your life, if you've been challenged, maybe it's being challenged about reading your Bible. Maybe it's maybe God brought to mind someone that you need to share the gospel with. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor Brian, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm going to pray in just a minute, and you do business with God while He's doing business with you. Pray and commit that to the Lord. But while your head's bowed and eyes closed, I would be remiss if I did not ask this question. If you're here tonight and you'd say, Pastor Brian, there's never been a time in my life where I've placed my trust in Christ to save me from my sins. I've never been saved. And I would love to talk to somebody about that tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hand nice and high so that we can see it? I've never trusted Christ as my Savior, but I'd like to talk to somebody about that tonight. All right, let's close in a word of prayer.